Welcome to this episode of Dial the Cosmos. And on this episode, we're going to change from the normal format and we're going to bring in a co-host. Now, who could we get to co-host Dial the Cosmos? Who has the knowledge, the wisdom, the wit, the humor, the good looks that could match mine? Well, there's only one person that I could really totally think about, and it's my good friend, Helen Mackie. Welcome, Helen.
Welcome, Dominic. Thank you very much for that introduction. That was great.
Well, you're welcome. It's always nice to see you, and it's always nice to have a chat. Would you just like to tell the people that are tuning in a little bit about you and where they can find you? Because they can be listening to you and looking up your website, can't they?
They can. My name is Helen Mackie. My website is helenmackiepsychic.com or .co.uk. And I started off my life in advertising, really. I sold advertising. That was my game for 20 years. I was really good at it because I was using all my intuitive and sort of sensitive I could get on with anybody and I could sell to anybody. And I look back now and I think, yeah, that's because I'm an empath. I was very good at getting on with people and getting them to part with their advertising budget. And I did that. And I was working at a I was part of a turnaround team, a business management team that would go into companies that were failing and turn them round. And we'd done two or three and we got to this total rock radio and it all fell apart. And at the same time, I'd been training at the College of Psychic Studies because, sort of on a level with that, my own ability had been growing. And I had gone off to the College of Psychic Studies to learn my discipline, I suppose. And so it sort of coincided with going off and doing psychic fairs to the company I was working for going bankrupt, and that was 20 years ago. And I'm luckily now, you sort of do everything, don't you? I mean, we worked on TV together sort of 15 years ago, is it now? And I did lots of psychic fairs and worked in a crystal shop in Ealing and did readings there. And you get to that very fortunate position where I don't have to leave my house now, unless I particularly want to. And that's very nice.
You could
So
say
that's me, really.
other people are fortunate that you don't have to leave your house as well, Helen, couldn't you?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't dare unless I knew you well. The thing about anything is it's like very random, isn't it? Who you meet, who you come across. And when we worked on TV together, you were the first person I met when I walked through the door as a rather sort of naive into the
And
process
I
of
think
what
I was in a good mood that day, so I was quite friendly.
you were very friendly and you're very helpful, and I can remember the times that we spent together on that program. It was fun.
We had a laugh. It was good fun, wasn't it? It really was good fun for the people who were watching, listening. We came in during the day and overnight they had babe station. So we would sometimes come in the morning with the producer shouting into the studio, "Don't touch the phones until they've been cleaned." And we'd go,
But
"Whoa,
for all the listeners,
okay."
Babe Station wasn't selling cots and nappies. Okay, it was a totally different channel. I'll leave it up to your imagination.
Imagination and why we couldn't touch
That's right, absolutely.
the
And it was an experience of not knowing really what was going to happen next, wasn't it? It was that sort of unpredictability that no psychic should ever have to be going through, really. We should have known.
My friend Karen used to watch, and she used to say, whenever I sort of used to look up, she used to know that I was thinking, oh God, what am I going to say now? It was like we were just making it up. And they'd say to you, go on then, just sit in front of the camera for 2 hours. Think, oh my God. Do you remember they got rid of the presenters and we were going on it on our own and having to talk just nonsense, really,
Bit like this
for the whole
podcast,
day?
really, Helen. Yeah, I mean,
That was at the time. I'm
it's
very good at it.
It's a very similar format on here. We talk nonsense for about an hour, and then hope people are listening, because we'd be a bit sad if it was just us talking, wouldn't it, and just sending it out to nobody.
Well, it's nice. We'll enjoy our conversation at least, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, that's right. And we can have fun with anything. And I think there isn't enough laughter in the world. There's not enough fun in situations. And I know that Destiny TV, if I went back, we could probably write a book, couldn't we, about the characters and the situations.
Yeah, we definitely could.
And the crazy nature of some of the people that I won't slander on the podcast, because that wouldn't be a good thing to do. But it would be quite fun to meet up again sometime and to see what they're doing now, because I'm sure that they're doing lots of things that don't include reading psychically.
I'm sure.
Yeah, can you imagine? I bet they're everything but psychics. But then that was part of the fun, wasn't it? Is being able to ad lib. You soon got your grounding, didn't you, in being able to present? Because
I learned as well that I could read via text, you know, because I used to sit there, the text would come in, you know, and the question would be asked, you know, and I would just get an idea in my head and just, you know, talk it out. Because this was sort of only two years really into my sort of career. And I would just spout it out. And, you know, people would write in and go, oh, my God, you were so accurate with what you said about such and such. Oh, my God, I can actually read over text now.
Yeah.
It was kind of learning as well. It was quite a learning curve.
Yeah. And it really brings us quite nicely into the first subject that we're going to talk about, because on this particular episode, we're going to talk about some discussion points and just try and figure out some of the things that maybe you might be thinking about while you're driving home or while you're running in the gym, something that is a little bit different from the normal Dial the Cosmos format. So we're going to talk first of all, Helen, about psychics and what their role is in modern day society. So what do you think a role of a psychic is, you know, currently?
Well, what's your definition of a psychic? What would your definition of a psychic be?
Yeah, it doesn't really have a definition, does it? It has so many different catch-all sort of areas. But, you mean, if you look up psychic in the dictionary, it would be somebody that actually uses their senses to enhance their ability to actually feel and sense other situations. So the clairvoyance. Yeah, but people don't realize that their senses need to be enhanced. And
no, absolutely. And I think as someone who reads energy, I personally feel that the role is to help people to help themselves.
Okay.
So, you know, there's many, many different reasons that people come and see me, for example. You know, they're either wanting, you know, to know when their boyfriend's coming back, or they want to know about a new job, or I get a lot of property developers that want to know whether they should buy a particular house, or and whether it's, you know, it always makes me smile that they ask me.
And see, the funny thing in today's society is, Helen, you have to define when someone asks you a question what it is they really want to know, because absolutely, if someone comes to you and says, when's my boyfriend coming back, we don't know whether they are male, female, bisexual. And so the actual openness of society has changed the role of the psychic, hasn't it? Because at one time, psychics used to be little old ladies sat on Brighton Pier with a crystal ball, with a headscarf, and they used to say, come into my parlour. And you used to walk past
my car with silver.
That's it. You say that very well. You've obviously been rehearsing that line, Helen. The actual reality is we are now much more accessible as psychics, as people that work within some of the higher frequencies of people's energy. And we can be accessed. You know, there's a big, big way of accessing psychics. There's no longer do you have to find one by word of mouth. You just,
no, or psychic fair.
Psychic fairs is one, isn't it? There's lots of people that will go out there and demonstrate on stage or do spiritualist churches.
Yes, and
people forget that up till 1974, psychics weren't legal. they were not allowed to demonstrate in public. So if they demonstrated, it had to be behind closed doors to a limited audience of invited people only.
Yeah.
And then they could get busted. So the actuality of psychics in the modern world is that it's accessible to everyone, but anyone can claim to be a psychic.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do we find a real psychic, Helen? And how do we utilize a real psychic, if that's the right word to say? You know, how will we get the best out of a psychic?
Oh, that's a question, isn't it? How do you get the best out of a psychic? You would probably let them do a lot of the talking rather than you do the talking. It's not a therapy session per se, although a lot of people like to come and act as if it is, but that's fine. That's fine. But, you know, and it's about being, you know, how to get the best is to be as open as you can be energetically. So open-minded and, you know, ask, not necessarily, you know, ask the right questions, I suppose. How can I best help myself?
Okay, I think that there's a definition to be drawn, and you're right. You mean psychic reading is not therapy, right?
No.
If you want to go see a therapist, you pay a lot more money for a start.
Totally. Right?
Yeah, so if you're going to be a psychic, go in college and learn how to be a therapist if you want to do those sort of readings, because psychic ability should allow the psychic to be able to connect to the person without them saying anything.
Absolutely.
So there shouldn't be an exchange, should there? But a person coming to see you, for instance, would you recommend that they meditated before they came, that they calmed themselves down so you could feel their, you know, their anxiety was limited? Or would you just say, come anxious, come nervous, come worried?
I never say anything. They turn up in whatever state they turn up in. Sometimes, you know, if I look at somebody and I feel that they're really, really nervous, I'll ask them if they want a cup of tea, make a bit of chat, and they relax. I do my readings in the kitchen. So the kitchen is a place that people feel naturally quite relaxed anyway. They sort of come into the kitchen, sit at the kitchen table, and, you know, it, sometimes you can just see, oh, I can see you've just come from work and you've got this, that and the other. And as time goes on, they just shed it and let it go. And,
right.
You know.
So a good psychic reading should be, what's the dot, dot, dot after that particular sentence?
Okay. I feel that I have done a good job. If I have given my clients some clarity, if I have helped them lift a load of negativity so that their energy is shifted, and I like them to leave feeling a lot better than when they came, much calmer, much clearer, an understanding of whatever problem it is they've come with, or a clearer understanding of themselves. You know, if they're working on themselves, the next stages of what they need to do to help themselves in that, you know, the future, which they say, you know, we tell the future. The future is based on a whole load of decisions, isn't it? You know, it's like if you stand at a crossroads, you can go left or right. So as a psychic, yes, you can peer down that. But, you know, when you get so far, there's four different possibilities that could materialize, depending on what decisions you make along the way. So my job, I feel, is to help them make the right, you know, if you make this decision, this is likely to happen. And if you make this decision, this is likely to happen. So it gives them a clearer picture of where they're headed.
Right. So really, I could actually paraphrase that and just say you give them direction over the choices that they have currently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you be able to give outcomes as well from that?
Yeah, you can absolutely, well, yes, you can. You can say, if you do this and this, this is most likely to happen. And if you do this and this, you know, I always give the example of the woman going to the party. There was a lady once, she phoned me up. She said, I'm going to this party on Saturday. She said, what's going to happen? And I said to her, well, it's all dependent upon how you are when you're at this party. if you're thinking about the bloke that you fancy and you're focused on him and what he's doing, your energy is not going to be with you, and you're going to be like a wallflower, and he's going to just want to keep away from that. But if you go and you go for yourself and you have a great time and you really, really enjoy yourself, you're magnetic, you're fun, you're vibrant, and he will be attracted to you. She said, but what's going to happen? It was just, couldn't quite understand that, you know, it's where you're at that makes it happen.
Yeah, the people want you to give a blow-by-blow version of what's going to happen. Is a bloke going to approach her? Is she going to be swept off her feet? Is she going to be proposed to in the future? Yeah, you get people that go into a fantasy world, don't you?
Yeah. Oh my word, I always remember that lady that you passed over onto me, and I can remember I was cursing you. She thought a famous pop star was her soulmate. Do you remember?
No, I've wiped it clean. It's gone.
You came up with the best answer that I loved it. You said, yes, probably, but you're just not meant to be together in this lifetime. I just thought that was such a great answer.
I agree. It was fabulous, wasn't it? The whole part of being able to be honest with people, but also being gentle with people.
Absolutely.
Is a difficulty, because I think psychics' role in this particular world is to be truthful, straightforward, honest, but be kind. I think being kind is, I think, a gift that people have who work with people who may not have the same sort of kindness in their own minds to themselves. Mm. So being kind, I think, is a real role that a psychic can play, and show that there is a kindness around it. Because I don't know about you, Helen, but when people come to me with impossible questions to answer that I haven't got a clue about, you've got a choice, haven't you? You can actually say to them in three words, I don't know. Yeah. And they say, what sort of psychic are you? And you say, well, a very honest one. Or you can actually say, well, the likelihood is this is where this needs to be. And for you to get to that place, your mindset has to alter, because your vibrations are on a different level to his. Now, I know which answer I would want if I was talking to a psychic. I wouldn't want, I don't know. I'd want, my vibration has to change. No,
absolutely. Because, you know, it's like people that have a belief that they're never going to get married, or they're never going to have children. You know that because they have that belief, you know, what you believe is true for you, and they're likely to create that for themselves. So you don't go and say, well, that's what I see in your energy field, and you're never going to get married and you're never going to have kids because that's what you fear. You say to them, oh, look, you know, if you can believe or just be open to the fact that you might, and it might happen for you, then your energy will shift and you'll be open to it happening. And I'd much rather tell people of the pitfalls and try and guide them away from them. I know you talk about being honest, and you know, it's, but I would rather say, for example, you see a miscarriage, the likelihood of a miscarriage in the future, because I would say to somebody, I wouldn't tell somebody that there was the likelihood of a miscarriage in the future. I would tell them to spend the first 3 months of their pregnancy with their feet up. You know, right. I would try and help them avoid.
Yeah, so you give them a solution to solve that.
And if it's meant, if they're meant to actually, and that's part of their soul's learning, then they'll lose it anyway.
Yeah, I don't really understand the nature of people putting that responsibility onto a psychic. Because that's a huge part of people's lives, isn't it? It's a huge part. If you want to talk to a psychic who is a medium, for instance, because let's define the different types of psychics you're going to find out there. You're going to find mediumship, which is connection to people that have passed. You're going to find tarot readers, divination readers. The new thing that I sort of come across a lot more nowadays is angel cards and angel readings. You're also going to look at astrologers, and there must be others out there that do other types of readings as well, because I'm sure that, you know, runes, for instance, that there are quite a few ways of using an object or objects to predict the future. Of course, scrying is another way. So there's plenty of ways to do it. What do you think is the best way for people to focus on when they're first getting started down the path of visiting psychics?
Well, it depends what they're looking for. If they want evidence of an afterlife, then they should go down looking for a medium. But if they're wanting life, and they're wanting life issues, and help with maybe the metaphysical level, not necessarily, I look at it, you know, in different frequencies. So the realm of the psychic looks in at the electromagnetic field, and the medium tunes into the vibration of light. And, you know, and also light can come into the electromagnetism. So you can see that, you can see that in that sphere as well. But yeah, I think it depends what you're looking for. You know, I do a little bit of everything.
So, let's ask you about that, because, for instance, for people that haven't been to see a psychic, you mean a medium is fairly straightforward, isn't it? It's somebody that connects to a presence that will express knowledge and information and evidential proof. Eternal life. That's primarily, I think that's what the dictionary calls a medium, is somebody that can actually prove the fact of life after life.
And
it's proof to an individual, because, you know, you would never find it, everyone could fit around that proof, because some mediums can't do that, some can. And that's all circumstantial stuff that is only relevant to the sitter or sitters. Tarot readings. I've been reading up on this, because tarot has become...
I use tarot.
Tarot has been is very popular at this moment in time. A lot of people are looking for direction through tarot. And it's funny, because I was researching tarot, because I was thinking back on my 11th birthday, I got a set of Marseille tarot cards. That I learned to read. And I was thinking, that's 50 years of reading tarot. 50 years. And it's what I find is that it's the interest of the divination side of being able to share insights that are a focus for people.
Also, I think that people like to, if you talk about, you know, with tarot, it's notorious past, present, future. And I always feel that if you say enough that's accurate about the past, and you get, you know, I mean, what you believe is true for you and what you manifest. So I always think a really good psychic, because it gives you a really good reading on your past, a really excellent summing up of your present, and then whatever they say in the future, oh, you're going to do this and this is going to happen and it's all going to be magnificent, they're more inclined to manifest it for themselves because they believe you.
Right. So the credibility is the establishment of you being able to accurately read somebody under the way that they know themselves to be.
Yeah, I think so. Because if you're accurate and you're saying you're this, and they go, yeah, that's true. If you go, oh, well, this is going to happen and this is going to happen, and here's your future. He was absolutely spot on about what my past was and what my present is. So woohoo, this is going to be my future. So up goes the vibration matches the card reading, and off they go to manifest their desire.
So what about telling people what they want to hear? So classic question that you must have heard. I've heard it 1,000 times, right? You've heard this 1,000 times, Helen. Is he coming back? Right? You know, anyone that has actually had psychic readings because they're heartbroken, they're very vulnerable, aren't they? They're very, very sensitive. And, you know, male and female, and, you know, anybody in between. You know, I mean, it's not just the feminine and it's not just the masculine. You know, people have an awful lot to cope with when relationships come to an end. They have a lot to cope with. So they're ringing psychics, or they're talking to a psychic for hope.
Yeah. And I have learned over the years the formula for getting somebody back.
Oh, let's talk about this formula, Helen. This is great. Yeah, we can have...
It does work.
Did you tell the audience that you're a witch?
Yes, I can. So, okay, out there, if you have a broken heart and it's, you know, quite soon after you've broken up, and the most common thing that we do is we think about that person nonstop when it's we've broken up, and we're all upset and we're sending them a whole load of emotion and a whole load of mental energy, or her, yes, a whole load of energy. And that person is picking up on that energy, not thinking that energy is coming from you, but just feeling absolutely fabulous, because not only have they got their energy, they've got your energy too. So they're strutting about feeling great, thinking, well, I don't miss him or her at all. Because on an unconscious, on a conscious level, they're not going to be aware of your energy, but on an unconscious level, of course, they will. So the answer to that is you're not going to think about them. You've got to cut the cords. So literally get your samurai swords and cut the mental emotional cords. You're not going to think about him or her, and you're going to try and connect emotionally, maybe with something else, a hobby or something like that. So they can at least miss you, you know, because your energy is absent.
So this is about thought then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about the energy field, because I don't know about you, Dom, but when I first started, you know, the mind absolutely fascinated me and thought fascinated me. And I remember reading this book about this woman who had died on the operating table, and she was shown what, she was sort of out of her body and was shown what thought did to people. And if someone thought positively about you, you were surrounded with positive energy. And if someone thought negatively about you, you were surrounded with negative energy. But even so, that energy of that person was with you. And she just said, when she came back into her body, she said, I'm never going to think negatively. And I say to mums, the worst thing you can do for your children is to worry about them, because actually you're just putting negative energy all over them, because you're assuming that things aren't okay, because if they were okay, you wouldn't be worrying.
Yeah, no, great point, Helen. How could somebody who've sensed somebody thinking negative about them prevent that negative energy affecting them?
Well, that's almost like, I always find, and I know with me, it was like a period of trial and error, isn't it, really? You try all sorts of things, to even tinfoil on top of your head. I've done even that before now, when I've had a very bad headache, and I know that someone's not very pleased with me. But, you know, it's very difficult, actually, to, you know, you have to sort of put mirror. I'm a little bit naughty. I tend to put mirrors up, and I think if you're going to send me negative energy, I'm going to put mirrors up in my aura and reflect it back, mate. You know, you can have it back.
Okay, so you don't have to make yourself out like an oven-ready turkey. You can use mirrors. That's quite encouraging. I didn't want this picture of all these listeners, you know, wrapping their heads in tin foil, hoping it's going to bounce the energy off them back to the source. But have you ever had the reverse of that? Somebody that's being pursued who doesn't want to be pursued. Have you ever come across them?
Yes, and that again, is it so difficult, because we have free will. And if you have a pursuer that is absolutely determined to pursue,
it's easy for you to say, yeah.
Isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's like, how do you stop that?
And how would you?
Well,
You can ask me the same question as well if you want.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
mind.
How do you do it? Yeah, I want to know how you do it, Donna.
Yeah, they just sort of deflect it off. That's your tinfoil sort of hat, isn't it?
Yeah, that's bouncing my hat. I'm throwing it back to you.
Bouncing that question back to me. And yeah, why not? I think that the whole idea of anybody knowing anything is to have the best intention of being able to live in love. And if you live in love, then you live with the secure knowledge that everything you do is going to be with love attached to it. Now, if someone is pursuing you, the best way for them to stop pursuing you is to send them as much love as possible.
Oh, that's true, actually, now you've said that. That's absolutely true. Yes, I do it with the kids up the park when they're screaming and shouting and there's so much negative. I just send them so much love and they can't handle it and they go home.
Absolutely. And what you're doing is you're actually saying to somebody, you may be pursuing me, but that's a wrong path because that isn't where I want to be. I don't want to be with you. I don't feel comfortable in that situation. But if I send you enough love, you're going to really fall in love with yourself first. You're then going to see that other relationships that are on your frequency, on the right vibration for you, become available. Now, the availability of relationships can sometimes be very awkward. People don't meet people, they don't go out, they don't socialize, and they would tend to fixate on people that are teachers or, you know, givers of light or people that are facilitators. And part of falling in love with somebody is having a commonality, a common goal, common timings. So to send someone love so they can find their own commonalities with other people out there will stop that pursuit. Because
I love that. You're so loving and kind. I would say yes, you send them love because people in negativity and they're pursuing it and it's kind of very negative. They can't handle the light of the love. So they can't actually handle and they bugger off.
Yeah, well, there are people out there who live in fantasy land because they can't cope with the emotional demands, shall we say, of a relationship. But as a psychic, I'm not looking at the rational. I'm looking at the irrational. If people come to me and want me to give a rational answer, I say, well, you might as well go and see a psychotherapist. You might as well go and see somebody who is going to give you that rationality that you're looking for. If you want an irrational question answered, I don't mind you asking it to me as long as you listen to my answer. If you just want to listen to what you want to hear, then go and see a psychotherapist.
So when you do your readings, what do you hope to get out of it? What do you hope to give your client, your customer?
Okay, well, when I do aura profilings, because this is what I do, you know, at this present time, this is the way that I write profiles from photographs. And what I want to do, depending on the level of where the person is, if they want me to profile people they're going to date, I give them a really good outline of that person's personality so they can choose whether they go and date that person. So they don't get the surprises, because how often 6 months down the line in a relationship, you know, surprise statements start to flow and start to come out and people discover stuff that they probably has been hidden from them. And doing a profile for somebody on a dating site is far more informative, so they don't waste their time. That's a dating profile. In a personal profile, what I want to do is give you a look at yourself, how others see you.
Interesting.
Yeah, because we don't really see ourselves. We have our friends who are nice to us. We have people that maybe not nice to us, but we don't really see ourselves. So when I set out an aura profile for a personal reading for somebody, I want to show them who they are, their abilities, their situations, their penchants to certain areas, and the things that may hold them back if they were to allow
having a life review when they're still alive. I always feel that when you have your life review, when you die, you get shown yourself through the eyes of others and you get shown yourself as others see you. And you're doing that while they're still alive, which is very useful.
Well, I'm hoping they're alive when they send me pictures. I do wonder some days, but the whole...
But seeing yourself is you know, I do think that seeing yourself is on the path to self-awareness, isn't it?
Where
you become self-aware. And, you know, I remember when I became self-aware, I wanted to hide under a duvet for about a year because I was thinking, oh my God, I understand now why people were like that and like that with me. And no.
Self-awareness is superb. It's a gift that we can start to adapt our life. And also the responsibility, when I write a profile for somebody from their aura, I look at the responsibility of writing that because every word they're going to hang on to, every sentence means something. Everything has a place in their thoughts as it goes through their mind. So you're in a very privileged situation where you can give that information to somebody in a kind and sensitive way that can help them in their life find the things that they really are going to find joy from. Now, what more of responsibility can you actually be given than to be trusted with somebody's next, past, future pathways? And I find that a really sort of opening thought. And every time I write a profile, that thought is right center in the middle of my head when I'm doing it, because...
It isn't it, as a psychic, you do have such a responsibility with people's mental and emotional state. You know, you just have to be so careful about what you say, and it really makes me quite cross that we have to be for entertainment purposes only. You know, it's almost
what does that mean?
Oh, at the psychic fairs and anything like that, it's all about how psychics come under entertainment. And we are for entertainment purposes only.
Okay.
And that's why you can't charge as much as a psychotherapist or a life coach.
Right. You mean, to me, I don't even listen to that phrase, right?
No.
I wouldn't
just make me laugh. We used to just have to have a little card on our table.
I just wouldn't. See, the thing with that is, why should we be embracing that from people that don't even understand us? Yeah, because that is somebody that's actually saying what you're saying isn't real. It's just a bunch of baloney that's made up to entertain you for that moment. It hasn't got an effect on your life. Now, I think
anybody that has a reading realizes that it's not just for entertainment purposes only. I think it was more to protect the psychic, actually. You know, right. In terms of if there was any comeback.
Do some psychics need protecting?
Apparently so.
Yeah, that's a debating point, isn't it, that I don't really want to go too far into. But the actuality is that these times, these modern times with psychics, anyone can pick up a pack of cards and claim to be a psychic. Mm-hmm. Anyone can sit in a spiritualist church and sit in a circle. And the accessibility is there for everyone, which is a great thing. But when was the last time that someone spoke to you about the responsibilities of a medium or the responsibilities of a psychic reading? It doesn't happen.
No.
And I think when I look at, I don't know, do you have Instagram, Helen? Do you go on Instagram at all?
Not really, just to see what my niece is up to.
Right, okay. That's a random answer, right?
Well, she doesn't go on Facebook. I don't really see her. So if I want to know what she's doing or where she is, I go to Instagram.
All right. So you're not stalking her, aren't you? You're not stalking
her. I'm not stalking her, no.
All right, okay.
I'm just an interested aunt.
Yeah, I like that word, interested. That really does cover a whole host of stuff, doesn't it? I'm just interested. I love it. No, but the reason I ask is because if you go on Instagram, there are thousands of psychics that sit there and they will send you a little caption saying, I feel your energy. I love your name. Would you like a reading?
And but that's a little bit like, don't you remember Destiny? And they used to put up on the wall, are you afraid that your husband's having an affair? And all of those kind of things to get people to phone you up.
Yeah, but that's the exploitation of people's vulnerability, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's people trying to share with people things through fear.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's not a good thing, is it? That's not
No, absolutely
coherent to people's lives being fun and connected and, growth and all the other things like that. So in a way, that is a very naughty thing to do, isn't it?
But yes, I can imagine. See, I've never done any of that, Dominic. I've always allowed, and I don't know what you're like, I tend to let people find me.
Yeah, I'm terrible. I'm absolutely awful. I just keep out of the way as much as I possibly can. And I've tried to find my own level of where I am. I don't make comparisons because I think we're all individuals. We all have our own individual personalities. And the beauty of being able to see people, really see people, is that you can figure out the level to talk to them at. So, are they at a level where they can accept some humor, or are they at a level where they're just sad and need a bit of comfort? And so, a good psychic is going to be able to pick up where that person is before they even start reading for them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying to you. Now I know who needs a cup of tea before we start.
Yeah, that's the nice way of introducing people. When I first started doing private psychic readings, I was very keen to make sure that everyone that came was given a chance to sit, have a cup of tea, a piece of cake before they even started the reading. Because I'd been to readers when I was in my teens and I'd been left in hallways, sat on chairs, even left outside people's houses until they were ready to call me. And I thought, what an awful impression that gave of that psychic, if they were treating people like that, and that they weren't using compassion and understanding and allowing people to have that particular moment with them, then they were doing it for the wrong reasons. And even today, I only book two readings a day. I book a reading in the morning and I book a reading in the afternoon. And that time I dedicate to the person that I'm actually working with. And they can stay as long as they want across that time. Because I don't think it's nice to be able to just say to people, oh, end of reading, you're 59 and 59 seconds are up. Off you go. Just get the next one out off the street and bring them in and sit them down for me, will you? It just doesn't work for me because there's a humanity involved in being able to be trusted with people's lives. And let me ask you, Helen, do you think psychics should be regulated?
Oh,
Have a good question.
it's a good question. I guess so, yes. It would be good. I suppose you could all be given just a little bit of a test to see if you were good or not. I don't know how you could be regulated. It would have to be some sort of test, I suppose, that you would have to go through.
Let's say that there's a tier system where first people were tested on their empathy. So their purpose for reading for people, their knowledge of maybe the history of, the esoteric world or the history of tarot, history of mediumship. So you can see that they are engaged with the subject. So they've really got a passion for what they do. And there may be some really good reading tests, so we can watch people's style of reading or how they present themselves. So we know that if they're let out on the public, they're absolutely
But
fine.
I think you would have to have a panel of psychics to do those tests, because you couldn't have non-psychic people doing them, because how would they know? Well, they would know obviously the answers, but I still feel, if you're going to tune into somebody and know if they're sort of a decent, I would rather, sort of have somebody who is an empath themselves to be able to tune in and see whether that person was genuine or not.
Sure, I'm sure there's enough old psychics out there willing to do that. You and
There
me would
would
be
be.
first in the queue,
We would,
wouldn't
wouldn't we? It'd be great
we?
fun.
It would be a lot of fun, and it would also be quite beneficial for some of these people coming up through, because who's to say they're not fabulous readers,
Absolutely.
but they haven't got the experience to be able to do the readings to an extent where that if they had, they could actually excel and really, really make a good impression on that particular genre of psychic work. The importance for me is being able to understand that people are self-taught. People only tell you what they want you to know about what they do. And if you get to that point where you're booking a psychic and they say, well, what's your experience? And they say, well, I've been reading tarot for 20 years. Well, they might have been, but they might have only done one reading in that 20 years. Yeah. What we want is we want transparency of understanding of where somebody is. And that way we won't get all these uninvited people coming on to Instagram offering psychic readings that are primarily copy and paste. And there you go. Here's your reading full of statements that can fit everybody. You know, these Barnum statements that these not so heightened readers use. And a Barnum statement for anyone is a statement that fits any occasion, like, I know you're emotional, you find life such a difficult place sometimes, but when you make decisions, you make them well. Now, that could apply to absolutely anybody. And if you're looking out for a poor reading, just look out when you have the first initial set of cards or first initial contact, people using statements that only mean something to everybody.
Yes.
Catch everybody, because what you want is that psychic to tune into you and give you that particular feeling of comfortability. But also remember that that psychic is a human and they need some time.
I do think sometimes it's not always the psychic's fault that they can't read you. You know, it's like if you're sat there with your legs crossed and your arms folded, it's not, you know, you're not necessarily that open.
So what's the best stance for a person coming for a reading? How should they sit?
I'm just sort of, you know, nothing crossed really.
So if I go in and cross my fingers behind my back, that's not a good place for me to be.
Well, you could do that, but I get annoyed when people cut. They don't do it so much now. They used to do it at the psychic fairs, you know, when people take their wedding rings off and do all of that, or sit on their hands. And you know, my friend said not to give anything away. Okay, so you're like a brick wall then. So I can't read you. You know, is this what you want? Just relax a bit and just sit and be open.
Okay. It's an interesting dilemma, isn't it? Because, I mean, I used to love meeting the skeptics.
Well, no, you see, that's where you used to really impress me, because I run away from them. You know, I am a flighter. I am naturally a flighter in life. So anything that I particularly worried about, I run away from it. And I used to love the fact that you used to write, give them to me, give me the skeptics, give me the. And I used to think, oh, Dominic, I love the way that you go for it. You know, you just go for the jugular.
But it's the way to be, isn't it? Is to give them the best introduction and to give them something that they got
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I love that when I do, you know, when you do a good reading and they're just gobsmacked.
I know. It probably doesn't matter too much. And I mean, I've always said over throughout my career is that I never read my reviews, because
I never read my reviews. I have never read a single review. Sometimes people go, oh, I've booked you because you've got good reviews. And I think, oh, good. Good-o.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter a damn, does it? Because anything that can change your emotions either way.
And sometimes it's because you haven't told somebody what they want to hear. You know, and, you know, I always remember a friend of mine saying it's not dial D for dead. You know, if your Auntie Beatrice doesn't come through, then I'm sorry, it's not dial D for dead. But they get all upset and they fire off a nasty review. I don't know, they might. I've never heard any.
Dial D for dead. Doesn't that take you back into the 1970s to that really awful murder show?
I remember that.
Do you remember?
Dial M for murder, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's dial something for something. And I do think, though, that if people put themselves in a position where they're being an expert in their field, they've got an ability, which I don't question people's ability. It's the way that their ability is allowed to grow. And you need to be around people that are positive. You need to have positive interaction with people away from that world. You need to have really good friends that are fun and enjoyable, that can share things and talk to you and just have a laugh with you about situations that could be quite tough to actually handle. And just give you that feeling of camaraderie-ship, because psychics are loners. I come across so many that are just individuals that don't...
But you see, I am a loner, and I laugh because I'm a bit of a recluse. There's nothing I like better. If I've got a week with nothing in the diary, I'm like, oh, thank God I don't have to see anyone. I loved lockdown. Absolutely loved it, because I didn't have to see anybody. I didn't have to make excuses as to not to go places. And I probably had two hugs that year, and I can honestly say safely that I didn't really miss it.
Yeah. It sounds like you get on really well inside prison.
I would love it. Someone cooking for me, a telly in my bedroom.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. A bunk mate and a loo. You know, what do you want in life? It's pretty much all there for you.
You know, it's funny talking about that. I can remember I was sitting there one day, and I was thinking, oh, I wonder what my soul would say to the best thing about this lifetime. What's the best thing about this lifetime? And immediately the answer came, and it was hot running water.
That was it.
Yeah, hot running water, best thing about this lifetime. And I sort of thought back, and I thought, yes, probably in most of my other lifetimes, I've never had hot running water or, you know, properly central heating or anything like that. And I don't think we realise quite how lucky we are.
Yeah, I suppose it shifts down the generations, doesn't it? Because if you go to the generations of Victorians, where they had to go to the public baths to get clean.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that for a start? Yeah, you know, I mean, and it was, I know, incredible, isn't it? Because now you don't have to be clean at all. You can just be dirty all the time. You haven't got to go to the public baths. But can you imagine, right, that the feeling of being able to go out to have your bath or go swimming or go down to the Thames or whatever. And if you wanted to, you know, all the stuff that we have now in our life is so much better, but we don't appreciate it. As do not the generation above us, you know, the generations that were the war generation that are behind where we are, they probably appreciate having a cooked dinner. And this generation that's above us probably would appreciate having a phone back if they had the phones taken away.
So it's all
relevant to where we are today within what we do and how we see stuff. And I think that's probably a part of where psychics come into stuff, is that if a psychic is giving you a really positive vibration, a really positive attitude, and is really happy, then that is going to give you something back, isn't it? It's going to come right back at you. So would it be fair to say the psychic's role in life today is to put things into perspective and to leave people feeling positive about the reasons they're here, and maybe to inform about the other things that life could be about, the spirituality.
It's all about the positive. You know, it's all about, because so many people these days have quite a low self-esteem, and it's about sort of pointing out their more positive qualities.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you're very this and you're very that. And they kind of go, yeah, I am. And you make them feel better about themselves. I think that's what it's, and people lift their vibration. I think when someone comes, you change their vibration, send them back out into the world, that they will then create a much more positive life for themselves because their vibration is lighter.
Okay, so belief and faith are two really good things that can be instilled just by seeking out somebody who has that positivity in their own life and will portray that within a reading.
Mm.
Brilliant. Okay, so that's really psychics, Helen. We've been talking for an hour now, which is quite a long time. I didn't think we'd ever get through a whole hour to it, but we could probably go on for another hour, couldn't we?
I know. I need to walk my dog though at some point.
Yeah, well, you can do that, and I'm sure you can take him for a psychic reading as well at the same time. Would you just like to tell the listeners to dial the universe or the cosmos or whatever I call it these days, how they can find you? Because they're going to be bombarded by you over the next few weeks. So tell them how they can find you this week.
You can find me through my website, www.helenmackeypsychic.co.uk, or you can just email me on helen387@btinternet.com.
Okay, fantastic. Don't give the rest of your phone number out there, will you? Because you're being inundated. The things that we do here, the things that we talk about. Next week, Helen, you're going to co-host with me again. And if you're free. And the dog's been walked before you see.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We're going to talk next week about what we do not see.
Okay. So, can you clarify that? When you say what we do not see, what would you consider something that we do not see?
Well, I would look at things like poltergeists or an animal that cloaks like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Or a feeling, a sense when we walk into an imprint. Walk into a building and you feel the presence of something. Yeah.
Yes.
What is it that we do not see, but we feel? And that's what we're going to be doing next week. So that's your homework this week, Helen. You need to go and actually have a look at some poltergeist stories and some ghost stories, and we'll have a good long chat, and we'll see where we go next week. So
it's been lovely, Dominic. It's been always lovely to spend some time with you.
Oh, see, you're an old softie, really, aren't you? It's really kind of you to say so. I love seeing you as well. It's always fun.
And it's also, you know, being psychic, there's not very many of us about that, you know, we can sort of get on with and trust. So it's nice to talk about it with people that understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, but haven't got agendas. I totally agree, because that's the bit that I love about being able to talk with you, is that there's no agendas. We haven't got egos. We just want to discuss and talk and open conversations up. And that's really what this show's about. And it's what life's about, really, isn't it? It's just being able to run things past people.
So I hope that all those people that are listening and watching now have a better understanding of, you know, why they would necessarily use a psychic, and how they would use a psychic, and how they would expect one to help them.
And on that, thank you, Helen. I will see you this time next week.
See you this time next week.